here in our part two of This Is Us. Last week, we talked about what it meant to belong and why we want people to belong in community. I think it was very interesting, by no mistake at all, that we talk about belonging, and then I'm flooded with emails and text messages from several of our small group leaders telling me that there's no more room in their classes. Like, we had record number of this, we had record number of that, and I'm like, hey, it sounds like to me people are, you know, feel like they belong, and you know, the really best way to, if you can't, you know, make the rooms any bigger, so try this on for size. You know, next time someone comes in, just be like, hey, you know, got a seat for you right here. Just see if that, how it makes people feel belong. And they may find a different church if that's the case. But it was exciting to see a record number of people in our small groups last week. So if you're not attending one, we'll help you find one. And we'll have someone give up their seat for you too if it's your first or second time being here. Last week we talked about, with everything that we're doing at this church, that who we are, our identity is found through Scripture. And then what we do and how we go about that is found through prayer, time with the Holy Spirit. We said this way, Scripture and prayer are the overarching principles of Bull Verde Baptist Church. These fundamental truths serve as the foundation for who we are in Christ and why we exist. And last week I pitched to you the reason why Bull Verde Baptist Church exists is for people to belong in community, grow in a relationship with Jesus, and invest in the lives of others. Last week we talked about belong. Today we're talking about grow. Now, here's some general truths about growth that I think we can all agree upon. One is we all want it until it happens, okay? I mean, we want to grow, we want to do this, and then, you know, like, hey, we should build, we need a bigger house. And then all of a sudden you start going through the plans and you can't agree on the type of light switches that should go in the house. Like, well, we wanted to grow, we want to get a new neighborhood, and it's like, oh, but there's this neighborhood, speed bumps. Like, we always want something that's next until that next is here. Here's a couple of things I think that are pretty common with growth. Growth is rarely ever convenient, or is it comfortable? Growth is really never convenient or comfortable. Think about pregnancy. You're gonna grow your family. Convenient? Maybe not. I know when my wife and I found out we were pregnant with Jacob, we were on our 1 year wedding anniversary in the Bahamas. We had I thought you said you were poor when we were first married. We were. Her boss that she worked for did some really cool things. He said, in order to reward you, my mother-in-law lives in the Bahamas in the private sector. She's out on an African photo safari. So I'm just going to fly you to her house for the week, and y'all can stay at her house. So it was like a all-expense-paid trip. I think we spent like $30 of our own money, like in the airport, to and from the thing. It was awesome. Except for she found out she was pregnant. It wasn't the most comfortable time. I mean, we would go out to eat and everything smelled wonderful, but it tasted horrible. I'm tasting food. I'm going, you know, it tastes fine to me, babe. And I'm like, by the way, you have to eat it. Like, we paid for this. Like, this is food we bought. So you have to, you know, eat it. So like, it just doesn't taste good. Oranges. Oh, it smells so good. If I could just have an orange, I think that would just satisfy all of my hunger needs right now. I peel the orange. We open it up. This one, it tastes horrible. It was not convenient for us at that time, you know, to find out that we were pregnant, nor was it comfortable. Now, for me, I didn't really experience any of that. I mean, I'm just going to have to go off her word on this one, that, you know, carrying a child for 9 months was not the most comfortable thing, getting out of the car, the steering wheel, you know, that kind of stuff. It just wasn't a very comfortable experience. Then we had to buy cribs and strollers and all that. So growing your family can be inconvenient. It's not really convenient, or is it comfortable? But a job transfer. Hey, you know, my boss is going to promote me. I get, you know, now I'm going to be this in the company now. Well, that sometimes isn't all convenient, because this is so-and-so's, you know, they're fixing to graduate from middle school, and then we have to move towns, or we have to, you know, move here, or I'm going to have to work different hours. And so sometimes it's not convenient or comfortable. Life in general. Growing in life. I mean, when we were in our 20s, people were like, oh, well, you won't be able to lift that like you could now. You get my age, you won't be able to pick that up so easily, you know. And all of a sudden, now we're not that age anymore, and we have to think twice about this box that's sitting on the ground. It's not convenient. It's not comfortable. Growth in life is sometimes not convenient or comfortable. I mentioned already our small groups. Sometimes when our Sunday school classes, our small groups, they begin to grow. Sometimes that's not convenient or comfortable because we realize there's only so much square footage and then people only take up so much room. So, you know, it's just, you know, yay, but it's not convenient because we may have to move a class or we may have to create a new class. It's not comfortable because I love these people and I don't want to say I don't love those people who are new, but I really love these people. And so our growth, sometimes it's not convenient or comfortable. Even as we as a church grows, you pull in the parking lot and you're like, we can't park on the upper level. We have to go back down to the lower level, which means we got to walk up the stairs. Or we had to park on this side of the church. You know, 3 years ago, it wasn't a problem. We just showed up 5 minutes for service and boom, we got the front row spot. It was awesome. It was great. But growth isn't really convenient and growth isn't always comfortable. But that's not the type of growth that we're really talking about today. And that's not the growth that we talk about in this mission statement. We talk about growing in a relationship with Jesus. Now, there's three truths. If you're taking notes, I want you to know the first thing is this: growth looks different for everyone. Growth looks different for everyone. Now, before we dive into that, let's go back to our passage I said we would be in this whole week. We looked at Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. I'm not going to read the whole thing because we did that last week, and I know you've all memorized this passage since then. But basically what happens in verse 25 is a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law, and how do you read it?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor and your neighbor as yourself." He said to him, "You should answer correctly, do this, and you will live." But he desired to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" So Jesus told the story of a man traveling on a road and he fell into some hands of robbers and they beat him half to death, stripped him of his clothes, took all that he had and left him for dead. Robbed him of his life, robbed him of everything he had on his possession and left him for dead. A priest came by, saw the man on the side of the road, was like, "Ooh," and passed on the other side. Moments later, a Levite came in, saw the exact same man. He may have been in worse condition by this time. We really don't know. It's just a story. Maybe 5 minutes later, maybe it was like, "Hey, priest, hold on, wait a second," you know. Or maybe it was like later in the day, and the guy's been laying there another 6 or 7 hours in the sun, baking in his wounds, bled more. We don't really know. But the Levite comes and sees the guy and is like, "Ooh," and kind of passes on the other side. Then a Samaritan saw him later, picked him up, bandaged his wounds, took care of him, put him on his donkey, carried him into town, went to the innkeeper and said, "This man, I want you to take care of him. And if you run out of supplies to take care of him and you have to go into your own pockets, I want you to know something. When I come back, I will repay you for any expense that you have incurred during this time, but I want you to take care of this person." So the innkeeper took care of him. Last week we talked about how if we pulled this guy, just a made up story that Jesus had at the time, but if we were to pull this guy in life and said, "Hey, in all the community, where do you feel like you felt where you belonged the most? Who did you feel like you belonged to? Who are you closest to?" He would probably respond with, "Well, the guy who took care of me and the innkeeper. Because this guy rescued me from the ditch, but this guy nursed me back to health." And today we want to talk about the growth aspect in that time at the innkeeper. Growth looks different for everyone. This is a simple fact. The way that I walk with Jesus and the things that God is dealing with in my life are different than the things that God is dealing with you in your life. Depending on how I was brought up in a very traditional Southern Baptist church. And with that, I bring my own kind of baggages to it. I bring when I go into meetings or when I go into, you know, different things in the church, and I am brought up with this as a history and it affects my present today. Some of you guys, we're not brought up in church. So when I joke about how things are sometimes in church, it doesn't make sense to you because you weren't brought up in church. Your only recollection or knowing about church is what you've known for the last 5 years. And what God is doing in your life and the hesitations and the struggles and the baggage that you're dealing with today are because of how the things you grew up with. Maybe you grew up in a great home and your father and mother were married together and they were married the whole time and had a healthy marriage. They loved each other and you had a great relationship with your brother and sister and moved on. Maybe you didn't grow up with a father. Maybe you didn't grow up with a mother. Maybe you didn't grow up with either. Maybe you didn't have, you know, a loving relationship. Your father was an alcoholic. Maybe it was an abusive relationship. Maybe you were physically or sexually abused growing up as a child. Those things impact us today, right now in 2020, wherever you are, however old you are, those things impact you today. And I think sometimes, especially for me, I forget about those things as we're moving the needle. You're going to hear me say that a couple of times today. As we move the needle in our spiritual journey, we forget that the things in our past affect us in our present. They just do. They weigh in differently. So when I say things like, hey, we want to do this, depending on your background, depends if you go, oh, yeah, or I'm not sure about that, or that's a bad idea, based off your background. So growth looks different for other people. The things you struggle with. To talk about different struggles or sins or failures or hangups or interactions, those are all things that weigh in today. Whether you came from a Catholic background, no faith background, or you were Islamic or Buddhist or Muslim, or maybe you were a charismatic and then now you're a little more conservative, or maybe you're conservative, wish you were charismatic. I mean, all those things weigh into the next step you do in your walk with Jesus. When you read the Bible, the things you're encouraged to do, the way you step out in faith, the way you interact with people, the friends you choose, all those things weigh in together. And we would be fools to think there's a cookie cutter model how Jesus grabs the attention of people. You know, some people came to know Jesus through a concert. Going to a Christian concert for, you know, I'm going to date myself, but maybe you went and saw Carmen. Okay, maybe y'all know, no one knows who Carmen is, just my wife and I. Josh is chuckling over here like he just said that in church. You know, I grew up going to Al Denson, Todd Proctor. I mean, these are the guys that was like, wow, this was progressive worship music. It was the guy on a keyboard, you know, kind of thing. It was wow, it was so cool. And, you know, we were at the stage and, you know, there was, you know, these guys. And so I was so impacted by that environment. Go fast forward to 2020, the Passion Movement, Lou Giglio, Chris Tomlin, people experiencing who God is in that moment through that arena, that weekend conference, that weekend concert of praise and worship. That's how people were drawn. Maybe it was an old tent revival. And the guy stood up there and preached from a hay bale. And they set it up over the weekend, and the guy came in every night at 8 o'clock of the sunset. The whole town would come together, and there was a guy that was just spitting fire, and that's how, and you were scared you were going to burn in hell that night before you went to bed, and so you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe that's how you came to know who Jesus is. Maybe it's through a youth retreat, a camp. Maybe it was through a girl or a guy. You didn't care about Jesus. You just liked that cute girl. And so you went to church with her because it was the only place you could really hang out with her. And so you went there and then you went to a retreat and then you got saved. I don't know how you came to faith in Christ. And matter of fact, I don't know if everyone here actually has come to faith in Jesus. But the growth looks different for everyone. We have one God, one Spirit, one Lord, one salvation, one Bible. But there are many ways that God gets our attention to growth. I go back to the story I've shared with you many times about my friend Doug, who was a friend of mine in high school, who I worked on him all through high school. We played drums together. We were best friends. We played basketball together. We hung out together. We talked on the phone together, which was weird for dudes, but that's what we did. And it was a great relationship, and then I brought him to church, and one of the greatest men of God who loves Jesus in our church looked at him and said, hey, we're glad you're here. Wear something nicer next time. And that comment changed the trajectory of his life forever. Because in our mind, we thought in order to be like Jesus, in order to come to Jesus, everyone has to look like this, be like this. And I'm not saying the end result isn't like Jesus, but I don't know about you, but I'm not at the end result. Maybe I'm behind the curve. Maybe I'm behind the time. But I would venture to say none of us in this room are right there where we need to be. And we're just like Jesus in our thoughts, our actions, our words, our deeds, our emotions. And so in the effort to, there's only one way to heaven through the Father Jesus, how God gets my attention, that journey may look different for me than it looks for you. You may have a military background. You may have a business background. And all those things affect and shape and how God speaks to you and the things that God is dealing with you in your life. And it looks different for me and it looks different for you. And I feel like sometimes when we talk about how we want growth in a relationship with Jesus, we forget that the way I came to Jesus may not be the way this person comes to Jesus. This person may come to Jesus the long way. This person may come the short way. This may come the rough way. I think the most important thing that we need to wrap our minds around is not how they're growing, but that they're growing. Now look back at the Samaritan. The way he cared for this man probably looked different than the way he cared for another person. If the innkeeper was married, his wife was like, I've got a headache. He probably gave her some Tylenol. I don't know if they had Tylenol back then or not. But he wouldn't look at the man who was bleeding and had broken bones and bandaged up. And the Samaritan says, take care of him. He's like, okay. He's like, here's some Tylenol. He's like, what about my broken bone? Like, well, tomorrow we'll give you another Tylenol. Because when my wife doesn't feel good, that's what I give her. So the way I meet your needs is the way I'm going to try to meet everyone. The way I serve you is the way I'm going to exactly serve everyone else. I don't think the Samaritan did that. I mean, the innkeeper did that. I think the way he took care of his needs would look differently than the way he took care of his wife or his kids when they were sick, depending on what they struggled with. And I think we lose sight of that sometimes in the church, that other people are struggling with other things. And they come from different backgrounds and different upbringings, and all that affects and how God gets their attention. And so the biggest thing is we want a growth in relationship with Jesus Christ. But we got to remember that growth sometimes looks different for other people. The other thing is this, growth takes time. It takes time, okay? Like, I've yet to see a parent walk into the nursery and pick their kid up and be like, what have you been doing this whole time? You're still two? Ugh. And frustrated with Deborah, like, I thought we agreed they'd be eight when they came out. Like, we could just go from two to eight and bypass, you know, some of those things that they would already know to read. Like, what have they been doing this whole hour, Deborah? Like, no one, you can go stand by, if you don't believe me, you can go stand outside the nursery today and see if that conversation happens. It won't, because every parent understands that growing a child takes time. I've never seen a parent, when they've celebrated, look, you know, so-and-so took their first steps and they put it on Facebook and they get all the likes and the shares. The next week, they're ranting about how they can't walk around with them at the mall all day long. They wanted back in the stroller. Well, they just took their first steps last week. What do you expect? It doesn't happen. But somehow in the church, we just assume that everyone's been a mature Christian and everyone's been walking with Jesus and everyone ought to know better. That's not the case, especially when I realized several years ago how many of us in this church have not been discipled. We said, I've never sat down with anyone who would mentor me on what it meant to walk with Jesus. I've attended small groups and I've attended Sunday morning services, which are awesome and they're great and they're profitable. But the chance to rub elbows with someone and really wrestle over things that we quite don't understand and still honestly don't understand today, because we've never had someone that we've wrestled with over the things in the faith to help us be mature. Growth takes time. If you don't believe me, look at ourselves. Just look at yourself in the mirror and go, I've been walking with Jesus for X number of years, and ask yourself, could I be further along with my relationship with God? Could I have a deeper understanding of the scriptures knowing that I've been a Christian for 25 years? Yes, probably. It takes time because we're rebellious people. God has to teach us sometimes the same lesson over and over and over. And if we're really honest today, I think we would say, hey, I've been walking with Jesus for 30 years and God's still trying to get certain things through my thick skull and through my thick heart of his love and his grace and his redemption. But somehow this is still just a battle for me. It takes time. Going back to the Samaritan, I'm sure some wounds healed quicker than others. By default, some wounds took longer to heal. And sometimes we have to focus on other things first so we can get this healed, and then we can focus on the next thing that needs to get healed. Growth takes time. And in our walk with Jesus, we want to grow in a relationship with Jesus. It's going to look different for me than it looks for you. It's going to take some time. Some of us on a fast track, some of us on a slow track, some of us failed and had to repeat a class. But it takes time. The last thing is this. Growth takes consistency. Growth takes consistency. Growing in a relationship with Jesus is not a one-time event. When I ask people, say, hey, tell me about your relationship with God. And they go, well, you know, I was 7 years old and I got saved and I was baptized when I was, 10, 3 years later. And then I went to church and here I am today. Maybe you only had 10 seconds to give your testimony. So therefore, that would be sufficient. But some of us would leave the growth process up at that moment because honestly, that's when we stop growing. Who's Jesus? What has he done for me? He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Savior of the world. He died on the cross for your sins. Put your hope and your trust in him and you will be saved. And then I did that and I realized that the next step was for me to be obedience and baptism. And so I did that. And that was it. Like, I'm done. And I'm here to tell you that you're not. You've just started. You've just started. God has given you a spiritual gift. Do you know what that is? Do you know that you are called by God, the same God who spoke the universe in existence? You are given a charge by him and through scripture to use that to benefit and to grow the kingdom of God. And many of us don't know what that is. And we're not growing. We're like an adult who still walks and stumbles and unsure of our steps like a two-year-old. That when we get going too fast, all the parents kind of, because we know we're about to fall. And we do. We fall too much. We fall too often because we've not grown. Sure, our bodies are grown. Sure, our intellect has grown, but our faith hasn't. I was talking to someone about salvation with their young kid, and I said, think of it this way. When you have a child who wants to understand who Jesus is, they think like a child. So their comprehension level and their understanding is like a Dixie cup. It's like those little mouthwash cups you kind of pull out the sink. They hold about 3 ounces of water. And to fill it all the way up, that cup is full. It only holds 3 ounces of water because the understanding of what that child knows about Jesus can only hold this much. The problem runs is as our intellect has grown and our maturity in general has grown, and now we're at a tumbler at 32 ounces and we're only putting 3 ounces of water in it. That's the problem. I think that's the problem with churches today. Our intellect has grown and our understanding, our capability has grown to understand God. But we're still stuck at the 3 ounces because we know that Jesus is Lord. He died on the cross and he saved us. But we've yet to understand other things about him through scripture, about his love for us, his love for others, and how to work that, our spiritual gifts, how we invest in the kingdom of God, how we use the things that God has given us to bless the kingdom of God. And so therefore, our ability has grown, but our faith hasn't. Growth takes consistency. You have to, as you continue to grow, you have to continue to invest in yourself. You have to continue to get deeper. And we're not just talking about information in, we're talking about information out. See, I think the biggest growth for us is not just what we retain, but it's what we regurgitate. You need to realize that you've never learned anything in your walk with God just for yourself. This is the biggest encouragement that I have. I never learned anything just for me. Because any lesson that God has taught me, anything that I've walked through with God has been for the benefit of his kingdom. And there are more people about part of his kingdom than just me. So what God has worked in my life and the struggles that I've had and the failures that I've had and the victories that I've had, they're not just for me to know. They're for me to share with other people, which is why I'm involved in Life Coach, because there are other things that I've walked through and dealt with and struggled and had victory over, and I want to share that with other people. It's not about attending another Bible study. I love what Dick Loesser would always say. We are educated far above our obedience level when it comes to the church. We know more about the Bible than we're willing to actually tell. But it takes consistency. There's no such thing as a retirement age in your walk with Jesus. You don't get to put in 30 years of work in your faith and you've achieved your pension and now you just live off of it in the kingdom of God. That's not how things work in our faith. We are constantly growing and helping others grow. I want to tell you a story real quick as we end of one of my really good friends in college. I won't tell you his name because I don't know if he will maybe listen to our podcast, but let's call him Sam. Sam was really involved in our college ministry. He was involved in my life. Matter of fact, one of the biggest reasons I grew as a Christian my freshman year in college is because of this guy. He poured into me. Have you been in the Word? No, do it now. Okay, let's sit there. We're at the BSM, we've got 5 minutes. Let's open up, let's just read something. Let's just talk about, how can I pray for you? Man, this guy, if there was ever a guy on fire for Jesus, it was this guy. I mean, he just radiated love for Jesus. And it was infectious, and I wanted to be like that. And so, I mean, I attached myself to him, and he mentored me, he loved me, he was awesome. He played guitar, he was in a rock band, and he led worship at our BSM. He was an amazing guy. Later on, they needed a drummer, so they called me up, and I started playing drums with the worship band. We went and led worship at a couple churches. We did a little retreats. We led every weekend for our college ministry. It was awesome. This guy loved Jesus, and I wanted my life to look like him. It's kind of like the whole Paul saying, follow me as I follow Jesus. It was just like that. Fast forward later on, I've lost touch with him. This summer, we're down at South Padre Island on a little mini vacation with some good friends of ours. And my kids walk up to me and they said, Dad, there's a guy there. I think he's drunk. I was like, well, just keep your distance. Yeah, he was saying F this and all this other stuff. And he's just saying all this profanity. And Dad, it was bad. And you could just smell the alcohol on him. I said, well, just keep your distance. And we're just hanging out at the beach just fine. And I look over and my wife looks at me. She goes, oh my gosh, that looks like Sam. I'm like, well, there's only way to tell. I've not seen this guy in 20-something years. So I just walk up and I was like, hey, and he looks at me and goes, Paul Brand. And let out a couple words, and he was like, kind of, you know, oh my goodness. And we began to talk. And we were so broken because his life is nothing like it was 20 years ago. I told him what I was doing, what God was doing. They introduced him to my kids. We told our kids who this guy was and what he meant to me in my life and all that stuff. And you could just tell he was heartbroken in the moment because he was in a relationship that wasn't profitable at the time. It was impure, and you could just tell that. And you could just tell the Holy Spirit was just working on him because where he was and where he is, it's not the same. And we departed ways. We changed stuff, became Facebook friends, and moved on. I looked at my kids that night, and I gathered them up. I said, let me tell you something. Your walk with God can change that way for the good or the bad, depending on who you surround yourself with. Corinthians says, bad company corrupts good character. I want you to understand something, kids, that the greatest of the greats are this close to falling if they don't stay with it. This growth that we want in the church, the growth in a relationship with Jesus, it's going to look different from other people. It's going to take some time, but you've got to be consistent in it. And I'm here to tell you, just showing up for church is not good enough. That's not growth in relationship with Jesus. That is church attendance. Growth in a relationship is really based off what you're doing with that. And that's where we're going to end next week with the investment process. But here's what I think the proper mindset is. And we're going to close with this. Here's a proper mindset when it comes to the growth, like belonging in the community, grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That grow, what does it look like? Here's the proper mindset. I want to grow, and I want growth for others too. When it comes to that grow part, if we think, I want to grow, but I also want growth for other people too. That, to me, is a proper mindset. Part of our growth might be helping or being patient with others while they grow. You don't know how many lessons God has taught me in being patient with someone, what God is working in their life. I've learned far more about me by mentoring and loving someone through their struggles than I have really anyone else. My question to you is, what are you doing to grow? Are you growing your relationship with Jesus, or are we attending? We'd love for you to belong, but we really also wants you to grow in a relationship with Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet and we'll close.